Welcome to the Reluctant Messenger podcast, where we discuss spiritually transformative events, encounters with angels and guides, out-of-body explorations, and much more. This episode originally aired as a video on my YouTube channel. You can find links on my website at candacesanderson.com. Welcome back. My name is Candace Sanderson. Today's episode is called Psychic Nonsense. Growing up, I remember hearing about mystics and psychics who, by some mysterious skills, could tell the future. They could reach into your life and share details that no one in the world would know except you. How did they do that? What was their secret? Was this magic or something else? These conversations often occurred in a mist-filled dark room, speaking in hushed tones. Ah, yes, that strange world of seances, of crystal balls and long-haired gypsies with golden bangles on their wrists. Whispering of a life that surrounds everyone, but eludes most of us regular people. Because we, the normal people, saw the world for what it was. Whatever our senses measured, now that was real. What we feel, what we taste, what we see, what we smell, what we hear, that was life. Back then, I thought that was real, but now I realize that this other world is probably what is real, those mystical, magical spaces of the non-physical. It's just that our senses are too limited, too bulky to actually recognize these realms. You see, our physical bodies are not equipped to register, much less understand, those worlds where the psychics delve. Our senses cannot identify these dimensions, but our non-senses can. Non-senses? Several years ago, my messenger spoke to me about learning to access my, quote, non-senses. Now, my messengers are sometimes humorous, but they were referring to the senses that go beyond the physical. They call them nonsenses. It's these nonsenses that actually allow us to perceive the non-physical world that surrounds us all the time. These are senses that everyone has, but often we don't use them. We do not purposefully engage them because, well, we don't even recognize them as existing. Let me share an example. These nonsenses are responsible for the cold chills you get when you're talking with someone and all of a sudden their words register something that's on a level beyond the 3D and you have cold chills. These chills are not telling you that you're cold or you're feverish. There's no physical reason for them to occur. But instead, these chills tell you to pay attention. Pay attention to the conversation. Something was just said that speaks to you. It speaks truth. It's something that, no matter what it is very important for you. Perhaps it's answers to questions you've had. For me, those chills have always been a strong indicator from spirit. I perk up. I listen. But this is fairly common for many people. So the next time it happens to you, I want you to stop what you're doing. Pause for a second and pay attention. Figure out what this is. What is this that's surrounding you that is so important? what was said. Why is it important for you to focus on this? So what I'm saying is it's okay to ask questions, even if you're asking them just to yourself, asking spirit. When this happens, have gratitude for the heads up. It helps raise your vibrations. And as your vibrations are higher, then that makes you even more open to this subtle information from that field of the non-physical. It also lets your guides know that you've tapped into their message. So maybe it's just a start, but this is great. Having cold chills for no physical reason suggests that you've begun to stretch that antenna that you have beyond their usual skills. You've expanded your focus. You've expanded your awareness. You've become more receptive. Now I think of psychics much differently than those imaginings of my childhood. When I began receiving messages from the non-physical worlds in 2013, I went from disbelief to awe in a very short period of time. I had too much verifiable information from these angels and guides to ignore the communications. With hundreds of messages, which later on added another component, I started having visions. But my view of these psychics changed significantly. I no longer see them as these otherworldly people living in a woo-woo world. Instead, I see them as being very grounded, usually very wise, because they're connected to truth in ways that are maybe just a little different than most of us. I have learned to view the 3D world through the lens of energy. This is something my messengers taught me. And in doing so, everything began to make sense. There's not just a 3D world that surrounds us. There's so much more than that. And the more I access those dreams, which of course you do too, we do it every night when we sleep, but the more you access them, the more you realize, you know what? There's not that much woo-woo involved in these non-physical realms that some of us, and me included, call spirit. Energy, vibrations, and frequencies. Nikola Tesla was right when he said, to learn the secrets of the universe, you had to look at those three things. When I embraced the everything is energy theory, I realized how our words, thoughts, and emotions were the same. They were energy, perhaps different expressions, but still energy. Bringing in higher vibrations to words and thoughts affect our emotions, just as bringing in those lower vibrations also affect our emotions. But we have a choice. The messengers taught me the T formula, T-E-A, thoughts, energy, action. And this formula regulates and explains everything. It's a pathway, a blueprint that I use to understand life. When I first began using the T formula, I saw how I brought in energy that affected me. Some of it was great. Sometimes I did it accidentally, but in retrospect, I could understand what had happened. Now that I know, I'm living my life with much more purpose than before. I know that I am the one in charge of arranging and planning my life one nanosecond at a time. We think a thought, that's the T, the thought in the TEA, thoughts, energy, action. And then we have a desired outcome, what we want to happen. That would be the A in the TEA formula. Whether our actions manifest in alignment with that original thought, depends on that E in the middle. It depends on how we fuel our thoughts. Many people are familiar with the law of attraction. Your thoughts are like magnets. Like thoughts come together. With that premise, let's take a look at that E, that energy in the TEA formula. Your thought might be to become successful at some particular job or skill. Maybe you even create a vision board. Yeah, you get those magazines out and you cut out pictures, put them on a board. You're visualizing what you're going to manifest. In the middle of your cut and paste job, all of a sudden it's like, who do I think I am? What makes me think I can do this? How and why could I do this? So what happens is our old friend doubt creeps in. And before long, you realize your action did not materialize as you had hoped it would. But it did happen precisely as the formula indicates. It manifested, that's the A, the action in TEA, exactly how you thought, the T, because you fueled it with the E, the energy of doubt. You brought in the energy of doubt, which then aligned your thoughts with that fuel, the fuel of doubt. That E is what bridges the thought with the action, and it is so important. What has been most useful for me is not making those vision boards or spending a lot of time on specific projects, but by becoming aware that everything is energy, it gives you a chance to pause when you feel yourself running on empty or feeling less than your usual self. Maybe you've been sick under the weather. Perhaps you've been with people who drain your energy. In a few minutes, I'll share how to protect against those interactions. But maybe you haven't eaten well and you've not gotten enough sleep. But whatever the reason, when you realize that your energy is low, that middle element in the TEA formula, know that your actions, the manifestations of your thoughts, will be affected. If you're planning a road trip and you have a 6-hour drive to make with no stops, you don't head out on a quarter of a tank of gas. No, you have a full tank of gas, a bottle or two of water, and maybe some easy-to-reach snackaroos to keep your energy up. When you bring this TEA formula into everyday life, you begin to understand some of the pitfalls that you've had are avoidable. You see how your energy connects your thoughts with your actions. Like what used to happen to me years ago, have you ever heard that phrase about getting up on the wrong side of the bed? By mid-morning, you wish you could return to bed. Everything goes wrong, from tripping when you get up, to burning your toast, to slamming the house door on your hand or locking your keys in the car. Everything goes downhill. As I look at this scenario now, when I trip, when I get up and stub my toe, I force myself to take a deep breath as I hobble to the kitchen for a bag of ice. I realize I need to change my energy. I purposefully take a few moments to feel grateful. That's not always easy to do, but I make myself feel grateful for my other 9 toes that do not hurt. I force myself to be happy that I only stubbed my toe instead of breaking my foot or maybe banging my head on the door frame. But what I do is I intentionally change the energy of my thoughts. I don't let that pain and low energy run throughout the rest of the day and ruin everything. I hobble on to work with a smile on my face. For those of you who follow me, you've heard this advice before. Smile. Even if you don't want to, smile like you believe it. Your brain will then respond to your smile by releasing hormones throughout your body that help you stay positive. It raises your vibrations. Your brain does not know the difference between an event and the thoughts of the event. So if your brain is going to be on a never-ending loop, choose something positive. Take out pictures of your family or your pets and smile. If you're having a really challenging day, realize that each second brings you closer to that day ending. Find something, anything, to keep that E in TEA positive. That's the high octane fuel that we need. And you can do that by just smiling. You have these nonsenses, these non-physical senses, and by applying that TEA formula and keeping our energy high, we increase our sensitivity. That is what allows these beautiful non-physical senses to grow. And that is a great thing to do. It opens us to this beautiful realm that everyone has access to, but far too few experience. Before we end, I promise to share a few ways to prevent others from draining your energy. By the way, if you go to the playlist tab on my YouTube homepage, you'll see a playlist folder called Energy Tricks. I have a few videos there that show suggestions like the one I'm sharing now. There are some people who drain your energy. After a conversation, which is usually very difficult to break free from, you feel drained. You feel exhausted. Some people are like energy vampires. They feed off the energy of others. They may not do this intentionally, but the end result is the same. You feel depleted. Here are a few tricks to try. First, build a bubble of energy around you. Bob Monroe called this a reball, a resonant energy balloon, and I have a video on how to do that. Just imagining a bubble of energy around you will work. Next, you can add additional support to that balloon by imagining that it has a reflective surface, like a mirror, or maybe even a layer of steel. This bubble protects against others invading your space and draining your energy. It also keeps your energy field intact. Thus, you stay strong. A couple other things you can do, and these are casual and these are organic, so if anyone saw you, you would look natural. First of all, do not maintain constant eye contact with the person who drains you. It's okay to look in their eyes now and then, but it's better to look at their forehead or between their eyes, anything that avoids a sustained eye-to-eye contact. That way, they won't be draining you from that perspective. If you sit across from them, do not have an open posture. Cross your legs at the ankle. It's probably better if you cross them at the knees. You can also cross your arms, but if you begin to feel that they're really getting to you, take your dominant hand. Mine is my right hand. You want to gently cup it at the back of your neck. The back of your neck is one of the most energy-sensitive places on the body. So just holding your hand over it, along with the intention, helps to further block any invading energy. Also, be smart. Have an exit plan. Have an excuse ready if you feel like you've been with this person long enough. It's like, oh, I've got an appointment or whatever, but have a plan. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember to recognize and use your non-senses, your non-physical senses. because they will help you tap into a world of beauty and wisdom that always surrounds us, but many of us just do not recognize. I am thankful and grateful. I appreciate all of you who subscribe, share, comment, and like. Remember the importance of being kind, and until next time, goodbye. Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Reluctant Messenger. I hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, remember, how we use our personal energy is what defines us. Bring in those vibrations of love and gratitude and see how your life will change.